From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, February 4th, 2019. And on this day, a bill in the state legislature would limit public schools' use of materials that are determined to be obscene. We'll look at that bill and the concerns around it. That's ahead in just a moment. A state lawmaker from New Gloucester has introduced a bill that could limit the distribution of books and other materials that are judged to be obscene in public schools. The measure drew opposition today from a host of free speech advocates, teachers, and librarians who say they're worried that it could have a chilling effect on what schools are allowed to teach. Robbie Feinberg has our story.
The original version of Republican State Representative Amy Arata's bill would have removed public schools from the list of institutions in Maine that can distribute, quote, obscene materials to minors for educational purposes. It would have effectively banned certain books and other materials in schools. But at a hearing before the legislature's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee, Arata offered an amended version that she says would instead require students and their parents or guardians to give written consent before receiving any, quote, obscene materials distributed by a school. Arata told the committee that she feels the legislation would protect students from possible harm from the materials, particularly those who may have suffered abuse in the past.
This common sense bipartisan bill will give minors and parents the respect and dignity of choosing what is appropriate for them and their family so that they do not have to feel embarrassed, harassed, or traumatized.
The amended legislation of the bill drew supporters to the hearing, mostly parents and representatives of religious groups, such as Mike McClellan of the Christian Civic League of Maine.
I think parent input is invaluable to ensure the health and safety of their child in these matters.
Yet free speech advocates, teachers, and librarians voiced serious concerns about the impact of the law on free speech rights and academic freedom. Kathy Potter, a school librarian from Falmouth, questioned how obscene materials would be defined and expressed concern that several classic works, including books by Toni Morrison, Maya Angelou, and Margaret Atwood, might be put into that category. She also wonders about what the bill would mean for school librarians and if she might have to send home permission slips for students seeking to check out certain books.
Who is going to decide what is obscene? Who is going to police this law in all of our schools across the state?
The bill would also amend the state's criminal statutes, which some lawmakers and teachers worried could make teachers and schools potentially subject to prosecution and create a chilling effect on what is taught. Claudette Persil is a retired high school English teacher from Brunswick.
The problem is that what is obscene to one person or group may be judged to have artistic or social merit to another. Criminalization of literary choices is a detriment to academic freedom.
Other educators say they worry about the effect of the bill on other subjects, including sexual education. And Vicki Wallach, the Director of Communications and Government Relations for the Maine School Management Association, says that there already is a process at the local level for citizens to challenge materials that are used in the classroom. Wallach says local school boards are already the ones who balance the learning value of the material with the needs of the school, students, and community.
We believe this process is fair, inclusive, and sensitive to local norms and allows the public to raise concerns while protecting academic freedom.
The committee will take up some of these concerns next Monday when it holds a work session on the measure. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Stakeholders in Central Maine Power's proposal to build a new high-voltage transmission line through western Maine begin formal negotiations tomorrow on a deal that could help the utility win approvals from state regulators. Fred Bever has details.
Farmington lawmaker Scott Landry says a top CMP official tells him a new deal is on the table.
I'm told that it's larger than the Northern Pass package to New Hampshire.
The Northern Pass project would have taken electricity from Hydro-Quebec's massive dam systems down to Massachusetts consumers. The developers offered more than $200 million worth of local benefits, but New Hampshire regulators rejected the plan. CMP now wants to bring that Canadian energy through Maine to Massachusetts. Landry has been representing Franklin County interests in talks with CMP, which he says now could bear fruit.
It's going to include the communities, the county, and Somerset, I would imagine, also, including education, community, development, which is what we were looking for, broadband.
A CMP spokesman had no comment on the offer's details, but calls it a timely step forward for the project. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
State lawmakers are considering a couple bills that would allow betting on sporting events, including the Super Bowl. Senator Louis Lucchini of Ellsworth co-chairs the committee that oversees gambling in Maine. He says interest in allowing sports betting in the state has grown after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling last summer that leaves the decision up to states.
There's several bill titles on the topic, so I think there's a lot of people interested in expanding it into Maine. The question will be how we do it, how we regulate it, how it's taxed, and who can have it.
Lucchini says one bill would allow two existing state casinos to offer sports betting. Another would allow the licensing of specific gaming establishments just for sports betting. He says he doubts his bill or the bill would generate much in the way of revenues. The state lottery and casinos combined provide the state a little over $100 million a year. And a new study from MIT finds climate change is altering the color of the ocean. The research finds more than half of the world's oceans will shift color by the year 2100, with the blues getting bluer and the greens getting greener. As WBUR's Barbara Moran reports, it's all about the plankton.
The color of the ocean depends on the stuff floating around in it. That includes phytoplankton, the tiny algae at the bottom of the food web. MIT's Stephanie Dukevich used a computer model to predict the effects of climate change on phytoplankton by looking at shifts in the ocean's color.
We're not going to suddenly go from having, you know, a blue ocean to a red ocean or something like that. But there will be the very, very subtle changes that they're important because they tell us a lot about what's changing in the ocean.
Dukevich says ocean warming is already changing the types of phytoplankton and where they live, maybe faster than animals can keep up. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Barbara Moran.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, February 4th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.